Good evening. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. This is Kingston's campus and community radio station. It's now 7 o'clock on February 28th, 2018. No leap year this year, so it's the last day of the month. And we are broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall here at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, online at cfrc.ca and Cogeco Cable 282, as well as streaming on your Android and iPhone apps. This is CFRC Prison Radio. We're a weekly show here every Wednesday from 7 to 8 o'clock. We focus on a variety of prison-related issues, as well as prisoner perspectives. And the last Wednesday of every month, which is tonight, we do a special episode called Calls from Home, which is where we air your messages and song requests from loved ones dedicated to people incarcerated in the Kingston area who are hopefully tuning in right now. And on that note, our signal does reach the following institutions: Collins Bay, Millhaven, Bath, Joyceville, and Cape Vincent Correctional in upstate New York.
I think we've still got some space for calls tonight, right? Requests?
We sure do,
Yeah, if people want to call in, you can still give us a call during the music breaks and send in a message or song, and you can call 613-533-2372 to do that, or 613-533-CFRC.
And if you want to call us in between shows, that is anytime during the month, you can call our voicemail service. We have a phone number set up at 613-329-2693. That's 613-329-2693. I will add that we noticed we missed a couple calls from what look like jails. So if you're listening and you tried to call us, we are now having someone carry that phone as much as possible during the day. And also we're working on getting some kind of collect calling set up with that. Hopefully in April, I think, is when that's coming. So we're pretty excited about that. That would certainly expand our ability to communicate with people inside, because mostly the phone is, with people on the outside at the moment.
You can also, if you want to get in touch, you can also write to us, is another way. Snail mail never fails, hopefully. You can write to us at CPR, care of CFRC, Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, K as in Kilo, 7, L as in Lima, 3, N as in Narwhal, 6.
You want to start the show off tonight with a quick announcement?
Yeah. So we've just got a call to action from Solidarity Kingston, which is a local group that does solidarity work related to kind of migrant justice, undocumented people. We've got, an action alert from Solidarity Kingston for next week. It's called 3 Days for Abdul, and that's referring to Abdul Abdi, who was a person who came to Canada as a refugee from Somalia with his family when he was 6 years old, who survived racist bullying at school and was taken from his family and placed in 31 separate group and foster homes. And while in care, Nova Scotia Children's Aid failed to apply for his citizenship. And then when he was a teenager, he was convicted for a crime and incarcerated. And now as part of the awful double punishment system that exists in Canada, where people can be incarcerated and then afterwards deported, depending on their status. So at 24, he now faces deportation to a country he doesn't know, with no relations there. So his final deportation hearing is next week on March 7th. So the call out is for people to get in touch with Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale on March 4th, 5th, and 6th of next week, and to blitz his office and urge him not to deport Abdul Abdi. So if you can participate in that, you can send Ralph Goodale an email. His email is on hon.ralph, R-A-L-P-H, dot Goodale, G-O-O-D-A-L-E, at canada.ca, or you can give him a phone call, and you can also, there's a petition, you can also email Justin Trudeau or phone his office, and we're just encouraging people to do that as much as possible. It's what Solidarity Kingston is asking people to do. You can also check out the Solidarity Kingston Facebook page for that information or their blog. So that's next week.
What's the blog?
It's, hang on, let me,
Okay, we'll get that for our listeners.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, if you just search.
And, also in the news, I've noticed the prison farms were just
back.
Announced that the funding has been reinstated in the new budget.
Yes, note to that last thing. SolidarityKingston.wordpress.com. I probably could have just guessed that, but there you go.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Prison farms are back.
Yeah. Well, they're not back yet, but the money is apparently there.
Yeah. That was just announced yesterday with the federal budget, that there's some money for the prison farms to be reopened. I think they're looking at next year, but starting the reconstruction of that this year. So, yeah.
Pretty interesting. It's certainly been a long haul for the people in that campaign. They've been out there every Monday for 8 years.
8 years. Oh, my God.
The vigilantes, I like to call them. And, yeah, I heard Jeff Peters just on CBC just driving in here talking about kind of reminiscing on the whole period and sharing his perspective, shouting out the donkey, Stormy the donkey, who's passed away before the prison farms came back.
Rest in peace.
But, yeah, we've done a lot of coverage on that. I don't know how far we'll get into it. Maybe we'll put some links on our website to some of the stuff. If you're listening, you don't know what the heck we're talking about. The prison farms were a program that existed at Frontenac Institution, which is now Collins Bay Minimum, and Pittsburgh Institution, which is Joyceville Minimum. And basically a program for prisoners to work outside and with animals. Pretty popular program. Were canceled by the Conservative government. That was announced in 2009, and then the actual closure happened in 2010 amidst a lot of organizing and protest here in Kingston. A lot, like, all that was really based in Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And led by the National Farmers Union, Sisters of Providence, several other groups were involved as well. There's a documentary. Anyways, it's a super interesting story. It's not one that I'm uncritical of, but it's certainly good to see people fight really mm-hmm. hard for something and actually get it every once in a while.
Yeah, it is. So that's that. We'll, keep sharing updates if more comes out on that story.
Do you want to move to the next news item?
Yeah. So got just a news item to share. This was shared by CBC News recently about two guards who were charged with manslaughter in a New Brunswick prisoner's death. So police have laid criminal charges against two New Brunswick correctional officers in the death of prisoner Matthew Hines at Dorchester Penitentiary more than 2 years ago. Alveda Ross, 48, and Matthew Bourgeon, 31, have both been charged with manslaughter and criminal negligence causing death, which was announced by the RCMP. The officers are on administrative leave, quote, pending review of their situation. Correctional Service Canada confirmed. The agency declined an interview request and said it's cooperated with the police investigation. The Union of Canadian Correctional Officers, which represented those two correctional officers, also declined. They were working at the prison on May 27, 2015, when the Cape Breton man was beaten and repeatedly pepper sprayed by the correctional officers. New Brunswick RCMP initially investigated the death and deemed that no foul play occurred, and then began reviewing the investigation after additional information came forward in May 2016. It's not clear what that information was that changed the RCMP's mind and why it wasn't uncovered in the first investigation. And Hines' mother, Marge, vowed to get justice for her son. She said that they were relieved to know his death has been thoroughly investigated when this decision was made. And they said that his parents have waited far too long to learn the truth about how their son died. For months, they believed he died from a seizure. Although we have been told and accept that only two correctional officers are facing criminal charges under the Criminal Code of Canada, we trust that all who saw Matthew before and during his death looked in the mirror every day with the knowledge of what they did and did not do, the family said in a statement.
Yeah, that's a pretty terrible story. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for several years now. And the fact that the family didn't even know the cause of death so long is... it's pretty crazy. So anyways, I guess these guards have been charged with, what was it, manslaughter?
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to have a court hearing this week, but that got postponed to next month. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. It's pretty rare that anybody in a position like that ever actually is convicted of anything serious in the courts. And obviously that itself isn't necessarily going to solve that much either. Mm-hmm. But
at this point.
Yeah, something to watch, for sure. We also received a story from somebody, as well as a song, a personal song, that they would like us to share tonight, and we're very happy to do that. This is from DLC, and the story is as follows. The inmate we visit is 30 days in at Beaver Creek minimum, and no sign of his property or his file yet, but he was able to book a visit for us. He told me that VNC, which is visits and correspondence, said we were all approved and the visit was booked. And there are two staff at the VNC at Beaver Creek Minimum. However, after arriving there, we were told that there was never a booking made and we were also not approved to visit. I told the front desk that it was booked and asked, how is that not that an inmate was allowed to make a booking at all if the visitors are not yet reviewed or approved? The answer was that there was no paperwork submitted and no booking. So I'm going to interject and say this is classic bureaucracy nightmare at CSC. I talked to the head of VNC and her demeanor was defensive and rude. When I interjected with a question, she scolded me, saying, so are you going to interrupt me before I finish? She had insisted there was never such a booking. I asked her why they didn't have an updated record, which shows if an inmate can book visitors because it was booked and it was approved. She kept insisting that there was never a booking and accused me of blaming her. I said there indeed was a booking, but the paperwork was lost and I was not blaming her. However, I did say it wasn't right what was happening. Of course, by then, the conversation was a circle and not very professional at all. The way all of this was handled showed the incompetence and neglect of the process. It also showed that there is no accountability. I'm sure many others have experienced this while driving twice the distance and with small children, so this is an important enough issue. If VNC said, I'm very sorry, but you're not booked and not even approved, we apologize for this oversight, since I understand that you've driven very far, but the rules are rules, please next time confirm an appointment after a visit is booked, I really wouldn't have been angry at how it was handled. I remember a visit at Warkworth where they couldn't get the dogs from another part of the prison, so there was a delay of 3 hours, and our visit was cut down to 2 hours. Other visitors were coming from as far as Ottawa. And if you're not sure about this, Warkworth is near Campbellford, north of Belleville. Other visitors were coming from as far as Ottawa, and some were booked for a private family visit and had waited from 7 o'clock in the morning, so over 5 hours in the lobby waiting. With that said, the Warkworth staff did apologize all over the place. I found the staff at Warkworth quite decent overall. When there was a very sticky incident concerning a visitor here, they handled it very well. I walked away satisfied that Warkworth staff handled something with a fair amount of dignity. Before I left Beaver Creek, they asked me if I wanted to put in a grievance, but I said no, because it wouldn't make a difference. Then they asked me if I wanted to talk to the head guy, who was actually just coming to the lobby at the end of our conversation. But I said no, because if we were not even approved, it would not get us in for a visit, and that was really my only goal. So one of the staff said, okay, well, at least you know where we are. because after getting into Gravenhurst, I got the roads mixed up. Before going home, I stopped at Oliver's in Gravenhurst for a coffee and chatted with some of the customers. One man was from Walkerton, but he moved just slightly before the E. coli outbreak back in May 2000. And he told me when he tried to return to see what happened to his friends, some of whom died, he was not allowed back in, and we all know what happened in Walkerton. A bigger injustice than ours that day, very tragic, and I'm glad he told me his story to help give me some perspective. So thank you to DLC for sharing that with us. She also sent us a song that she recorded called Rip the Veil. Rip the Veil was written while thinking of those impacted by situations and policies that affect their lives, both individuals and families. Issues in this song apply to all prisoners, given some of the policies in prison and procedures in court, and especially those that may put a man in prison who is factually innocent. My thoughts were around how bad policies are a violation of human rights. So in fact, an act of violence where inmates are not treated well, are assaulted by guards or inmates, and or deprived of proper medical care. Fairness needs to be delivered all around, but I especially think of the cases of wrongful convictions. And DLC also asked us to mention the film Crown Heights. That's Crown Heights, that was released back in 2017. Which is put out, I think, through Amazon, but it was based on the true story of Colin Warner, who was wrongfully convicted of murder in 1980, spent 21 years in prison before he was finally exonerated. So that is Crown Heights, 2017. Check it out. And this track is Rip the Veil by DLC on CFRC Prison Radio.
For every tribe that's meant to be, violence comes from the enemy. Let the arrow break the bones and unite the people. Come in thorns. Stop the captive from control. Bind the Jezebel in every soul. Pray against the ones who feel and rob a family and take a child's meal. And they know the things they do. They leave a cup for me and you. But those chosen, drained and dry, who out loud they cry, oh, lift the veil of violence that lies on every trail. Oh, come, lift the veil of violence on every trail. Oh, come, rip the veil of violence.
When you're down and trouble, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. Mm-hmm. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Winter, spring, summer, got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, babe, don't you know about me? Winter, spring, summer, or fall. Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
The Kingston Canadian Film Festival is back from March 1st to March 4th. In addition to the best Canadian movies, KCFF also features parties, music, comedy, workshops, awards, and special guest appearances. Want to get involved? Submit a film to KCFF's local short film program, volunteer, become a community partner, or make plans to attend. Festival passes are available now, and single tickets go on sale February 1st. For festival info and passes, visit kingcanfilmfest.com.
The year was 1966, 3 years before the well-known Stonewall riots. In the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, a rapid development of the area had caused many transgender people into more low-income housing and to the streets. As cross-dressing was illegal at the time, in San Francisco, many people had difficulty securing employment. In addition, police enforcement had increased its pressure within the community. The heated relationship between the trans community and police exploded during an altercation between a police officer and a transgendered patron in Gene Compton's cafeteria. An officer attempting to arrest a trans woman was paid in kind with a cup of coffee to his face. The riot began and spread to the streets, whereby a police car was destroyed. The next night brought more members of the trans community with Tenderloin street folks and other members of the queer community to picket Compton's cafeteria, which had refused to let transgender people back in. The riot marked a turning point in queer organizing and LGBT history. Do you know your Pride history?
If you're into that stuff, listen to 78 every Wednesday from 1 until 3 p.m. on 101.9 FM, CFRC.
You're listening to Calls from Home with CFRC Prison Radio on CFRC 101.9 FM. It's our monthly Calls from Home show. So we've got some requests to play for you tonight. This next request goes out to Al. And I think we might have got this one last month, but sounds like, Al, you might have missed it. So I hope you're listening tonight. And we've got a couple songs for you. This goes out to Al, my AAA, and it's from Your Gracie Girl. And the requests we've got are The Promise by Tracy Chapman and The One You're Waiting On by Alan Jackson. So again, that's for Al from Your Gracie Girl. A couple songs for you on CFRC Prison Radio. Enjoy.
If you wait for me, then I'll come for you. Although I've traveled far, I always hold a place for in a while, then I'll return to you. I'll return and fill that space in your heart. Remembering your touch, your kiss, your warm embrace, I'll find my way back to you. If you'll be waiting, if you dream of me like I dream of you, in a place that's warm and dark, in a place where I can feel the beating of your heart. Your kiss, your warm embrace, I'll find my way back to you if you'll be waiting. To see your face, your smile, to be with you wherever you are. Remembering your touch, your kiss, your warm embrace, I'll find my way back to you.
reason you can make a promise. If it's one that you can keep, I vow to come for you if you wait for me. And say you hold a place for me.
Was The Promise by Tracy Chapman, going out to Al. We have another track for Al, but I just wanted to remind you, if you're listening, that you still can request music for tonight at our request line, which is 613-533-2372. That's 533-CFRC. I think we got space for maybe one more track tonight.
Yeah, give us a call.
Yeah, and you're listening to Calls from Home on CFRC Prison Radio. This next track, also going out to Al, is The One You're Waiting On by Alan Jackson.
Is he tall? Is he handsome? Does he make enough and then some? Does he miss you every minute that he's gone? Is he funny? Is he witty? Does he tell you that you're pretty? Did he hang the moon? Can he do no wrong? Is he Mr. Right? Wonder what he's like, the one you're waiting on. Is there an empty seat beside you, and every guy here's trying to buy you something to drink, but you just keep brushing them off. You're watching whatever's on cable, swirling your glass on the table, wondering how long. Too long. Is he working late? Is he worth the wait? The one you're waiting on. How many glasses of Cabernet? How many minutes slip away? How many times are you gonna check your phone? I'm telling you, if you were mine, you wouldn't be sitting here counting the time. You'd never spend a single moment alone. I bet he don't get how lucky he is, the one you're waiting on.
You're listening to Calls from Home on CFRC. And again, that one went out to Al from Gracie Girl. And that was The One You're Waiting For by Alan Jackson. I think we've got some news, a bit more news for you up next. A couple of stories. I think they're both coming out of Edmonton.
Yeah. Edmonton, busy place.
Do you want to start? Or?
Sure. No, you go first. Yeah.
All right. So here's one. A story that came out in January about four Edmonton prison staff members who were fired under allegations of intimidation and criminal activity. After allegations of harassment, intimidation, bullying, and possible criminal offenses perpetrated by guards at the Edmonton Institution, two correctional officers and two managers at the maximum security prison have been fired. The unnamed employees were disciplined and terminated by Correctional Service of Canada, confirmed in a public statement. And an internal investigation is continuing, correctional officials said. Quote, over the course of several weeks, allegations of inappropriate employee conduct were brought directly to the attention of the Commissioner of Correction staff by staff and inmates at Edmonton Institution, the statement says. In response to these concerns, the Commissioner directed that an investigation be conducted to ascertain the exact nature and extent of these allegations. Stan Stapleton, a national president for the Union of Safety and Justice Employees, says the firing show that CSE is taking the allegation seriously. The trade union represents employees at the prison who are not guards, such as parole officers, clerical staff, tradespeople, and Aboriginal program officers. The fact that there's strong action being taken is going to be a relief to certain employees that work there, because now they will likely see that, number one, the threat is gone, the threat of retaliation is gone, Stapleton said. He said there's still a lot of work to be done to create a work environment free of intimidation and harassment at the prison. Quote, the underlying culture, I would suggest, is still there, not as bad as it was. The concern they, that is the union members, have is that if there aren't ongoing efforts to quash the intimidation and the bullying, that will take hold again, end quote. The Office of Ralph Goodale, the Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness, released a statement on Tuesday. Quote, harassment is completely unacceptable. It states, Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale is committed to ensuring that Correctional Service of Canada and all the agencies in his portfolio are workplaces free from harassment and sexual violence. While we do not comment on personnel matters, or matters under investigation by police, we applaud the Correctional Service of Canada for implementing a number of important initiatives to combat harassment in the workplace. These efforts are a positive step forward and necessary to create a safe and healthy work environment, end quote. And so this is an investigation that began in 2017, and the Correctional Service of Canada Commissioner flew to Edmonton's federal prison in mid-September to personally announce both criminal and administrative investigations. Following a month-long inquiry, CBC News learned that at least seven employees, including some managers and acting managers, were walked off the property and suspended without pay around the same time as the head's announcement. Additional disciplinary hearings are still pending. The prison is under new management, and prison officials say they brought measures to improve working conditions, including a new confidential tip line for employees to report misconduct and increase training for staff to help prevent inappropriate conduct. And over the course of the year, CBC News interviewed seven past or present Edmonton Institution employees who said they have direct knowledge of sexual harassment, threats, and intimidation by male staff against female employees at the facility. They say it's been happening for several years. The sources said female staff in general, and female prison guards in particular, are targeted by some male co-workers with degrading comments, jokes, gestures, and sexual advances. So again, that was one that came out of Edmonton last month.
Also in Edmonton, there's a story called Hunger Striker at Edmonton Remand Center says officials haven't met any demands. This is from February 2nd, and Post Media put this out. So a man who went 4 days without eating as part of a hunger strike by inmates at the Edmonton Remand Center says the government is not holding up its end of the bargain. Timothy Crow is one of 19 inmates in Pod 2B who stopped eating to protest conditions at the provincial jail. The inmates were protesting increased time spent in lockup, the removal of an inmate to a high-security unit, and they also alleged that correctional officers were using excessive force. Alberta Justice said the strike ended January 10th due to ongoing communication between center center staff, and inmates, but Crow said the issues haven't been resolved. Quote, we had an agreement with them where they said that they'd look into our complaints. They're going to release an inmate that's been in the maximum security pod for almost a year, he said. He said inmates in two of the jail's pods are still locked up for more than 20 hours a day. He's seen no evidence of an investigation into the alleged excessive force incidents. I think CBC called those attacks by guards on inmates. Tensions at the jail began to mount late last year. On December 15th, officials imposed a 12-hour lockdown over serious assaults on correctional officers. The government said the hunger strike began January 7th when 55 inmates refused to eat provided meals. Within a day, the number dropped, said the government. Crow said the strike started earlier when inmates stopped eating provided meals but continued to buy food from the canteen. Government officials said inmates had access to canteen food throughout the strike, but Crow said that is not true. Quote, they organized a group of guards and they took every available piece of food that we had, said Crow. In total, it was 2 weeks without eating their food, but it was 4 days without eating any food at all. The strike ended January 11th when all inmates ate their meals. A spokesperson for Alberta Justice said it was the first multiple inmate hunger strike at the new remand center, which only opened in 2013. Crow, who is charged with two counts of second-degree murder, said he and the other hunger strikers met with the remand center's deputy director of operations about ending the strike. Usually, inmates have the day to make phone calls to their lawyers and loved ones, shower, and exercise. The longer lockups caused a lot of issues, he said. You've got to debate whether you want to take a shower or make a phone call. It wasn't like that before. A spokeswoman for the Alberta Justice said the remand center has implemented a tiering or rotation lockup program after discussion with the Alberta Union of Provincial Employees, which represents guards. Louise McEachern said time spent outside of cells is based on several factors, including the unit's security level and inmate behavior. Time spent outside cells range from 3.5 hours to 11 hours per day. So, some tension for sure within the Edmonton system. This is, of course, the Remand Center, which is the provincial jail. The sexual assault and harassment stuff, I guess, was at the federal prison in Edmonton. But interesting for both of those stories to come out within basically a week of each other. Why don't we hit a song? We still got time for you to make one more request if you want. The phone number is 613-533-2372. This is CFRC Prison Radio. You want to send a shout out to somebody incarcerated in the Kingston area, you can do so on this show or really any show on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is Tunnel Vision by Kodak Black. It probably has some explicit lyrics, so tune out for the next 4.5 minutes if that is a concern to you.
Listen, girl, I don't wanna be the one you hear again. My mama told me, boy, told you, nigga, I gon' be that fucking nigga. Everything be good until you doing better than them. They wanna see a nigga shot and see me in the system. All you niggas out here poison like snake venom. Codeine in my liver, rockin' Balenciaga denim. I'm booted even when I'm sober, I don't need a jigger. They sending all my niggas on a fucking joint. I told that baby to come over cause I'm fucking horny. My mama told me, kitty nigga, son, keep it going. I'm thug to the bone, but I'm still her baby boy. Look who that boy, they hate to see you in a foreign. They miss when you was in that Yoda kicking doors. Look who that they don't like to see you winning. They wanna see you in a penitentiary. I need me a little baby who gon' listen. Girl, I don't wanna be the one you ignorant. My mama told me, boy, make a decision. Right now, I gotta keep a ton of vision. I need me a little baby who gon' listen. Girl, I don't wanna be the one you ignorant. The Kodak, they don't like to see you winning. They wanna see you in a penitentiary. I need me a little baby who gon' listen. Girl, I don't wanna be the one you ignorant. My mama told me, boy, make a decision. Right now, I gotta keep a ton of vision. They sending all my homies on a mission. And I ain't tryna miss out on these millions.
Talk on, they didn't fall for
Cop Car by Keith Urban. I put that in there. I'm not going to pretend that came in as a request. So that pretty much takes us to the end of the show.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to Calls from Home tonight. Thanks for the people who sent in song requests and stories. That was really great to have a story sent in. So thanks for that person. And
yeah,
you know, if you have an experience like that or anything that you want to share and like a story that we can read on the show, that's awesome.
So totally.
Keep sending those in.
And also the personal music track that was recorded. That was also really great to be able to share tonight. So lots of good stuff. If you want to get in touch with us for next month, it'll be the last Wednesday of the month. I don't know what day that is. I think it's the 28th
again.
Yeah.
I think that's what happens in March.
Numbers are the same in March. You can give us a call at our voicemail, 613-329-2693. You can email us at cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net. Find our archives and lots of information and links and all that kind of stuff on our blog at cfrcprisonradio.wordpress.com. We are on social media at CPR Kingston.
CPR Kingston on Twitter and CFRC Prison Radio on Facebook.
Sweet. And do you know the email or the snail mail address by heart?
I do. It's also in front of me, but thank you.
Oh.
But it's a CPR, care of CFRC Radio, Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, K7L3N6.
Right on.
Right on. So write to us, call us, send us an email.
We'll be back, and we'll be back next week as well. So usually the first week of the month we do Stark Raven, which is a Vancouver-based prison radio show. Second and third week, we typically do original interviews and content. And then the last week, we do this show, which is Calls from Home. Stay in touch with us. Keep tuning in. And we'll be back next week at 7 o'clock. And what's coming up next?
What do we have up next? We've got Bella Chow by Chumbawamba is what we're closing out with tonight.
And the show after this?
Oh, is thanks. Thanks for that intro that I just totally missed. It's next up on CFRC is Femme for FM with some queer music for you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
See me, I may be smiling. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao. ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 that our sunlight is not for franchise. I wish the bastards dropped down dead. Next time you see me, I may be smiling.